Madhava Kunj Bihari Raja.
Increase the volume. Higher.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunj Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yasoda Nandana Praja Janaran Jana. Yasoda Nandana Praja Janaran Jana. Yasoda Nandana Praja Janaran Jana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunj Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunj Bihari. Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada. Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada. Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Astataro Shrishamadis Divine Grace Srila Abhay Charanara Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki ISKCON Founder BBT Founder Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Antaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Srila Vyasadev Ki Guru Parampara Ki Bhakti Vedanta Purports Ki Shri Vrindavandam Ki Natai Gau Premanande Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga Gau Premanande Hari Hari Bo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 27, chapter entitled Indra and Surabhi Offer Prayers. Text 9 for today. Tava vataroyam adok sajeham. Bhuvo baranam urbarajan manam. Chamu pati nam abhavaya deva. Bhavaya yusmaj charananuvatinam. Tava vataroyam adoks sajeha. Bhuvo baranam urubara janmanam. Chamu patinam abhavaya deva. Bhavaya yusmach charananuvatinam. Tava vataroyam adoks sajeha. Bhuvo baranam urubara janmanam. Chamu patinam abhavaya deva. Bhava Yusmach Charananuvartinam. Vaishnavis, Matajis, and the word for word, tava yo avataraha descent, I am this, adokshaja, O transcendental Lord, ya into this world, bhuva of the earth, Bharanam, who constitute a great burden, Uru Bhara, too many disturbances, Janmanam, who have given rise, Chamupatinam, of military leaders, Abhavaya, for the destruction. You made it lower? It's okay? Deva, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhavaya, for the auspicious benefit, Yusmat Yo Charana, lotus feet, Anuvartinam, of those who serve. You can repeat the translation, some words at a time, from Lord Indra speaking. You descend into this world, O transcendent Lord, to destroy the warlords who burden the earth and create many terrible disturbances. O Lord, you simultaneously act for the welfare of those who faithfully serve your lotus feet. Purport by the followers of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This verse utilizes an attractive poetic device. Lord Krishna's descent into the world is said to be for the abhava, literally non-existence or destruction, of the demoniac warlords, and simultaneously for the bhava, or existence prosperity, of those who faithfully serve the Lord's lotus feet. True existence indicated here by the word bhava is Sachit Ananda, eternal and full of bliss and knowledge. To an uninformed observer, it may appear that Sri Krishna is simply rewarding His followers and punishing His enemies the way any ordinary person might do. This specific doubt about the Lord is raised extensively in the sixth canto in connection with Krishna's taking the side of the faithful demigods against the faithless demons in a particular cosmic war. In that canto, the Vaishnava authorities clearly explain that in fact Lord Krishna is the Father and Lord of all living beings, and that all His activities are therefore meant for the benefit of all existence. Lord Krishna does not really cause the non-existence of anyone. Rather, He curbs the foolish, destructive, material ways of those who defy the laws of God. These laws are created to ensure the prosperity, harmony, and happiness of the entire creation, and their violation is an unjustifiable disturbance. Certainly Indra hoped that Lord Krishna would count him among the devotees and not the demons. Although considering Indra's actions, one might doubt where his loyalties actually lay. Indra was aware of this possible doubt, and thus, as we find in the next verse, he tried his best to surrender to the Supreme Lord.
Om Jnana Atimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanabhyo Vaishnavabhyo Namo Namaha. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada begs the question that why did Krishna not retaliate by destroying Indra's heavenly kingdom. Because Indra declared war. And in this particular verse, he's talking about warlords, none other than himself. But in a purificatory way, he's saying it actually refers to somebody else. It's a bit of a sort of devotee rascal, so to speak. Yeah. So can anyone answer that question? And Srila Prabhupada does say that at first, Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna thought, let me retaliate and take vengeance, you know, against Indra by destroying his heavenly kingdom, which Krishna did not do after feeling that way in the initial reaction of his own consciousness. He was also that angry. So Srila Prabhupada says like that. So can anyone help me to answer this question? Krishna could easily retaliate by destroying Indra's heavenly kingdom. Why did he not do that? Where's the microphone? Saranga Thakur Prabhu, you want to? I can't get his darshan. Tell him to stand up.
I'm right here.
Where?
Right here, my dear sir.
Oh, His Holiness. Bhakti Anugraha. That means giving mercy. Janardhan Swami Maharaj.
The wrath of King Indra is in the mode of ignorance and passion. And therefore, if Lord Krishna, who is in the transcendental platform always, will retaliate, then he will be under the modes of material nature if he did it.
It's a wonderful answer. It's one of the reasons why Indra's heavenly kingdom was not destroyed. Thank you very much. There's a hand up here in the back. Is that Prabhupada Priya? Right? Got it. Okay. Behind you. Prabhu, behind you. Thank you. Yeah, go ahead.
Hare Krishna. I was thinking that Krishna doesn't want to destroy Indra, and especially doesn't want to destroy all the other denizens of the heavenly planets who are innocent, but he just wants to correct Indra. So by doing what he does, he corrects Indra without causing undue harm to innocent people.
Nice. Thank you very much. In other words, innocent other persons in Indra Loka should not be destroyed. Great. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada does say very clearly in the Nectar of Devotion that Krishna felt like that. He wanted to finish Indra Loka, the heavenly plan. Now, there is another nice reason. Let me read that first from the Nectar of Devotion, what Srila Prabhupada said. It reads from chapter 24. It is said that a person is great if he is decorated with the qualities of being very merciful towards the unfortunate, very powerful, superior, chivalrous, enthusiastic, expert, and truthful. These decorations were manifested in the character of Krishna during his Govardhan Leela. At first, Krishna thought, let me retaliate against this vengeance of Indra by destroying his heavenly kingdom. But later on, when he thought of the insignificance of the King of Heaven, Krishna changed his mind and felt merciful towards Indra. No one is able to tolerate the wrath of Krishna. So instead of retaliating against Indra, He simply showed his compassion for his friends in Vrindavan by lifting the whole of Govardhan Hill to protect them. So from Prabhupada Priya and from His Holiness Bhakti Anugraha Janardhan Swami, they nicely supported what Prabhupada is also saying in this Nectar of Devotion, chapter 24. In other words, Krishna felt, why should I make a big thing about it? After all, this Indra is quite insignificant. And in another place, Srila Prabhupada, in July 20th, 1971 in New York, when he was speaking about a purport to the Bhajan Jaya Radha Madhava, which we just sang. And Srila Prabhupada said, Indra is so insignificant, he is not even equal to the business of my little left finger. My little left finger that lifted Govardhan Hill is more significant than Indra's entire kingdom in the heavenly planets. Therefore, my little left finger is more important. It's the business, Prabhupada says, it's the business of my little left finger. In another lecture, Srila Prabhupada says, that Krishna says, my little left finger will end it all just by lifting. So he regarded it, why should I give significance to Indra by destroying his heavenly kingdom? My little left finger is more significant than all his wrath. See? Now the nice thing is that this pastime of Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill in relation to Indra's wrath is not in Goloka Vrindavan. It's not there. And it only happens once. It won't happen again in this particular universe. So when one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, you mean there's no lifting of Govardhan Hill in Goloka Vrindavan? Srila Prabhupada said, why there should be? There's no wrath of Indra in Goloka Vrindavan. There's no wrath of Indra at all. And Srila Prabhupada does say this in 1972 in a lecture in Laguna Beach. I'll just read it for you. But in the original Vrindavan, there's no such thing as the wrath of Indra, the king of heaven, and the danger of torrents of rain, overflood, inundation. There is no such thing. Because everything there is blissful, transcendental, and eternal. So this sort of leela within the Boma Vrajabhumi, here, earthly Vrindavan, and in other universes where Krishna's eternal roadshow is continuing on, like that, is basically for sadhakas. It's basically for sadhakas. When we observe Govardhan Puja, it is for practicing devotees to become purified through that particular festival. But there's no Govardhan Puja in Goloka Vrindavan. It's only here within this universe where Krishna's eternal roadshow is continuing. Now, when Indra became bewildered when Krishna told his father Nanda Maharaj, no Indra Puja. See? No Indra Puja. So Srila Prabhupada says that Krishna did not say to Nanda Maharaj, I am the Supreme Lord. He did not say to Nanda Maharaj, he wouldn't say that because his consciousness as a son to Yashoda and Nanda will not determine in his heart to bring out that supremacy of being the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada says this. He did not say, Nanda Maharaj, that I am the Supreme Lord. Rather, Krishna said, Srila Prabhupada says that, that Indra is under the order of the Supreme Lord to supply water. So why do you have to worship him? Like that, to supply water. See? And in another place, which I said in a previous talk in the first day of Kartik, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of the water director in New York City. He said, you don't have to worship the director of the water affairs in New York City. If you pay your bill, he'll supply. But you don't have to worship him. So in the same way, Krishna, you know, is like discounted. You don't have to worship Indra. Under the order of the Supreme Lord, he has to do that service. So why do you have to kind of worship him? But not minimizing his relationship of saying that I am the Supreme Lord. He never said that in that sense. Now, Srila Prabhupada specifically says, you know, when we say, Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadari. So, this word Giri means hill, and Varadari means one who lifted the hill. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada indicates Krishna is not known by that name in Goloka Vrindavan. He is known by that name within the Leela of lifting Govardhan Hill. Yeah. Yeah. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has mercifully given us this bhajan, which Srila Prabhupada introduced at the beginning of each Srimad Bhagavatam class, so that we can become purified by even just saying Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadari. But then Srila Prabhupada says, Giri Varadari may be there, but we have to become Gopi Jana. We have to become the follower of the Gopis, as well as become one of them or like them, Gopijana. See, although Giri Varadari is there, but we have to become Gopijana. Amazing. Very simply done, but quite amazing how Srila Prabhupada said that. Yeah. Now Krishna wanted to protect the residents of Vrindavan, but Indra wanted to vanquish them. And Indra had a complete turnaround in this particular chapter. Okay. I'll read what Indra says. A complete turnaround. Nectar of Devotion, chapter 21. After the incident was over, Indra surrendered to Krishna with many prayers, which is actually this chapter, in which he admitted, and Indra's personal words, quoted by Srila Prabhupada, by your lifting Govardhan Hill and protecting the citizens of Vrindavan, you have kept your promise that your devotees are never to be vanquished. But he wanted to vanquish them. Can you see the complete turnaround of Indra? He's glorifying Krishna that you your devotees are never vanquished, which he actually wanted to do. Then Srila Prabhupada indicates, so therefore that shows by Indra's prayer in the Nectar of Devotion in chapter 21, that shows that Indra didn't really want to vanquish them. Krishna arranged it, that Indra does that. See? So if Krishna wants to vanquish somebody, that will happen. But if Krishna wants to save somebody from somebody else being vanquishing his devotees, that will not happen. But he can create a situation where they are apparently being vanquished. That's also his arrangement. It's also his arrangement. And there's a beautiful verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'll just read it first. From the Madhya Lila, chapter 23, text 116. Arivamsa kahiyache goloke nitya stiti Indra ashi karilayabe Shri Krishna rastuti. Very nice. Indra means King Indra. Asi karila means offered some prayers, which is called stuti. Shri Krishna rastuti. And this is an amazing prayer. In translation, Srila Prabhupada says, in the revealed scripture Hari Vamsa, there is a description of Goloka Vrindavan, the planet where Lord Krishna eternally resides. This information was given by Indra when he surrendered to Krishna and offered prayers after Krishna had raised Govardhan Hill. From the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So what does this indicate? It indicates in Goloka Vrindavan such a pastime is not there. But then how is it that Indra is being introduced and given the vision of Goloka Vrindavan and not this Boma Vrindavan? See? So Krishna is very compassionate and merciful. That Indra is giving this prayer because he has some sense there's another Goloka where he cannot do this thing. And Srila Prabhupada indicates in the purport that when Indra surrendered to Krishna after Krishna raised Govardhan Hill, Lord Indra started having visions of what is like the lesser planetary systems and then higher and higher and higher and highest and so forth into Goloka, other than this Boma Vrindavan, where he created some mischievousness, so to speak, like that. And the nicest thing about that, Krishna revealed Srimati Radharani to him. I'll read it for you from Srila Prabhupada. In the same purport, Goloka Vrindavan is the kingdom of Srimati Radharani and the parents of Krishna, Maharaj Nanda and Mother Yasoda. And Indra continues, in this way there are various planetary systems and they are all creations of the Supreme Lord. Then Indra, he sort of addresses Krishna. You know, we inquired from Lord Brahma about your eternal planet. But Brahma couldn't understand our question and he could not answer. So, he's speaking to Krishna. This is given by Srila Prabhupada in the purport, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yeah. So how is it that Brahma could not explain to us your Goloka Vrindavan? And how is it that I'm speaking about it to you now? See? So there is a word which Prabhupada uses. It's called it's called Shabda Praman. It's like transcendental sound. Now, transcendental sound usually is not sound that is spoken that you can hear. Usually we say Shabda means sound. No. Transcendental sound is a transference of consciousness to reveal. Shabda Pramanam, Shabda, transcendental sound, enters into the heart of the living entity. And the heart is within the soul. In Bhagavad Gita, there's a purport, Prabhupada explains, that, I forget the reference right off now, there are two things. One is that this body has a heart. We know that. That material stuff. Yeah. And within the heart is the soul, the region of the heart. But within the soul, there's a heart. That's on the transcendental platform. So shabda, or transcendental sound, enters that heart of the soul, which is within the region of the heart of the material body. So therefore, when we associate with very when we associate with very advanced devotees, there's no need for words to be spoken. There's a descent from their consciousness into your heart, which is this heart of the soul, not the heart of the body. You know, that shabda, that you could say, sometimes it's called a sort of a Brahma Shakti. It's like a potency that enters. Otherwise, how would Indra speak these things? You know, like that. And Krishna is revealed. Krishna didn't tell him that Radharani is in charge of Vrindavan. He is telling Krishna that, you know, Goloka Vrindavan is the kingdom of Srimati Radharani. So that kind of association with very advanced souls is, words are not spoken. Because it is, words are simply, you know, Raja Achanam Bravit. You know, it's like can be politics. Like people are good enough to give good speeches. That's not potency. Potency means that you can receive Shabda Pramanam, or transcendental sound, that touches the heart of the soul, not where the soul is within the heart of the body. And that transforms one. And that transforms one. So that's how Indra became transformed, directly by the association of Krishna. And then he's declaring, Goloka Vrindavan is the kingdom of Radharani. How does he know? He just wanted to vanquish Radharani together with the others, and how does he know this? So it's a very interesting thing. Now, very simply put, given by Srila Prabhupada's translation in his purport to Rupa Goswami's verse in Nectar of Instruction, text number 9. There it is very clear that the Vaikuntha Lokas are superior to the material world. But then very clearly, Srila Prabhupada says, but Mathura Mandala, yeah, which is Vrajabhumi, which is within this world, is superior to Vaikuntha outside of this material universes. This Mathura Mandala is superior even to Vaikuntha. Like that. And the essence of Vaikuntha is the forest of Vrindavan along with the other forest, 12 forests. The essence is the forest of Vrindavan. And the essence of Vrindavan, which is superior to Vrindavan, is Govardhan Hill. And the only reason that Govardhan Hill is superior to Vrindavan, which is the essence of the Vrindavan forest, is not only here, it stretches right up to Govardhan in the transcendental realm. So within the Vrindavan forest, the essence of Vrindavan forest is Govardhan Hill. And Prabhupada says the reason for that. And what's the reason? Why Govardhan Hill is the essence of Vrindavan and therefore higher than Vrindavan? Prabhupada says, simply because Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. And therefore it is the highest. And the essence of the Govardhan Hill area is Radhakund, which is called the quintessence of everything. All right, we'll leave some time for comments or questions. Anyone would like to ask, please, this microphone here.
I read.
Well, what's your good name?
Nirgunandas.
Nirguna. Nirguna. Can you take us to that platform of Nirguna?
No, only Krishna.
Help us.
I also want.
Okay, Nirguna Prabhu.
I just want to say that first reason that comes to my mind is that
there's
what
three
I read,
things that come to your consciousness, not the mind.
To the consciousness, then, is that actually Indra, the whole pastime is give mercy to Indra, which is like his, because he's his son, and he say it like when Indra surrenders, he says, "You're like my father." So
yes.
So that's what I want to say.
You wanted to give a comment.
Yeah, that was the right comment. I had to, because I felt like that, like the main reason why, like Krishna really loves Indra, his son.
Yes.
He wants to chastise him, you know, like to help
Wonderful.
Him get more mature.
Thank you, Nirguna Prabhu. You're keeping us above the modes. Anyone else? Some comment or question? To the back, the microphone. Everyone chant while the microphone is going. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, I was interested in what you said about Shabda, because I'd never heard that explanation before, that it's not sound, but it's rather the transferal of consciousness. So I was thinking that, I mean, for myself, I'm a teacher. I give a lot of classes on Shastra and things. And I would like to be able to speak in such a way that not just interests the mind or transfers information, but that actually touches the heart of the soul. So how can I do that?
I'll give you two examples. His Grace Rameshwar Prabhu was with Srila Prabhupada in the room in Los Angeles. So he came and he spoke about, gave a report about the BBT and the book publications and so forth. And Prabhupada never said a word. Right? So Prabhupada, after he spoke, and so he looked at Prabhupada, and Prabhupada looked up. And with the one look, Rameshwar decided that it's the end of the meeting and he has to leave. And he left. No words spoken, but just Shabda. See? So therefore there are two things. When you speak words, you want to develop relationship. But when no words are spoken, the relationship is already there. That's Shabda. See, Srila Prabhupada gave the example that when Krishna went to the pasturing grounds with the cows and so forth, and when he came back, Srila Prabhupada said, the gopis did not ask Krishna, "Oh, let me look in your pockets. What did you bring back for us when you went out?" See? What did you bring for us? In other words, the gopis don't do that because they're interested in Krishna. They're not interested in what Krishna brought for us. Just like in a family, the father comes from work, and immediately, you know, the children or the wife will, "What did you bring for us? Did you bring my chocolates? Did you buy this? I asked you for me." No. That's Shabda on the material platform. See? And Srila Prabhupada also indicated in many places that Radharani never says to Krishna, "Oh, I love you very much." If anybody tells you that, that means they don't. See, that's on the material platform. Yeah. So therefore, relationship on the basis of transcendental sound is actually, the relationship is already established. See, But we distribute books, we preach and so forth to establish relationships. Beyond that, even if you just simply sit with advanced devotees, a lot of things happen, even without any words spoken. It's that powerful. It's that powerful. So I'll give another example. I am not saying this because I have been brought up in Indian culture. That's not the case here. But I'm talking about Goloka Vrindavan culture. Like that. See? When Mother Yasoda in Nandagram, you know, when Dhanista is there in the kitchen, where they're assisting, you know, to cook, and Rarani comes from Javad, and so forth. Rarani is not allowed into the dining area. Now, can you imagine that she's come to cook for Krishna, and Dhanista is assisting, and Yasoda doesn't even go much into the dining area either. Dhanista is the go-between. So you can imagine that Radharani is cooking for Krishna, assisted by Dhanista, but the assistant goes into the dining area. I'm actually working on a mandala of where happens what in Nandagram. It'll happen maybe in a year or so from the previous acharyas. You know, like a nice, you know, when you go here, yeah, this is where the Goshala is, this is where the barn is, you know, the cows and so on. Yeah. So it's very important to note that when a cook cooks for an advanced personality, they always ask, you know, what did Maharaj say? Or, you know, was it okay? You know. Because when we cook, we want to be pleased that we please the other person. That is not shabda. That is, you know, within the point of establishing relationship. But when you cook and the other person partakes like Krishna in the dining hall, he doesn't pass a comment, tell Rarani everything was good. No, he doesn't do that. Because the relationship is already established. Why? Because the service itself of cooking is the reward. That is shabda. See? That is shabda. And this goes back to just four words that Srila Prabhupada exchanged in his initialization of his relationship with his own spiritual master. That means his relationship with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and the Saraswati Thakur was already established, not that he is to establish it. He only asks things, four words. What's it? How can I serve you? So there's no need to establish a relationship if you just want to start serving. Because you know the person knows you. You know, at times with shabda is that it is just sufficient to enter a room and somebody is chanting their japa. And you know there's no words exchanged between you and that person. You have to take your beads and also chant. And that's sufficient in association. That is called shabda pramana. And I've had experience of associating with very advanced devotees within ISKCON. there's super advanced devotees in ISKCON. Like I have these questions in my mind and in my heart, and I go into the room and he's my friend. He's my friend. You know, another sannyasi, another senior grihastha was my friend. I walk in and he's chanting japa. I'm thinking, when will he stop chanting japa? I have a question to ask, but he's continuing to chant. And then I take my beads and I also chant. And at the end of 45 minutes, you have come. Is there anything? No, it's okay. We'll chant japa. Because all the questions are answered while chanting japa with the person. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, quoted by Srila Prabhupada, gives the example. Simply cleaning brass, all your questions will be answered. You know this, right? Simply cleaning brass. That is Shabda. The sound of cleaning the brass is your Shabda to answer all your questions. Because it is a paraphernalia of the Lord. Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnu aradhanam tasmat parataram devi tadiya nam samachanam. You know, many devotees, direct disciples of Srila Prabhupada, they'll remember just one thing. Prabhupada's glance. He knows me. Or Prabhupada's smile. That's all they receive from Srila Prabhupada. And that went right in to the heart of the soul, not the heart of the body. They remember that. They remember that. Is that all right? I'm not sure. There's one hand up on this side, and you spoke earlier, or is there some...
question?
He has the microphone, Maharaj, so go ahead.
So Maharaj, just for an example, if a person here hears you speaking and he doesn't know the language.
Yes, that's a nice example.
Yeah, and you are speaking about Krishna.
Yes.
And about what Srila Prabhupada says.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know what you're speaking, but because your speaking is spiritual.
And well, I'm not sure if my speaking is spiritual.
Well, if you just repeat what he says
I'm not sure.
Okay, let's say you just repeat what the Bhagavatam says and what Prabhupada says, and he doesn't know the language. He'll get affected as well because of this Shabda Brahman. Is that correct?
Can I give another example to support what you're saying? Srila Prabhupada used to speak Hindi at times in India, and none of his disciples from the Western world, from Europe or America or Australia, they didn't understand one word, but they sat there and they heard every word and it had effect.
Yeah, Prabhupada says, you come back the next day, the devotee did not come. He says, why you did not come?
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, even if you don't know the language, it will have an effect.
Yes. So I think it's better to give an example of Prabhupada rather than my own example. So is that okay?
Yours is powerful also.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
There's one more hand up there. Should I take that or just one more, right? Is that okay, Panchagoda Prabhu and Maharaj? Now, Yamuna Priya, now listen carefully. Now behind you. A hand came before you. Yamuna Priya, just give us your question and not a story. Question.
So Maharaj, you talked about...
Question.
I'm trying to ask my question.
Then ask the question.
Is there a difference between the emotions of the heart and the emotions of the heart within the soul?
Can you repeat that? I'm trying to digest your question so I can understand it. Can you repeat that?
Is there a difference between the emotions of the heart of the body and the emotions of the heart of the soul.
Now it's more clear. Thank you very much. Yeah. Now, Srila Prabhupada answers your question and he says the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is beyond physical or sensual, is beyond emotional or mental, and beyond intellectual or philosophical. You may have heard this, it's famous. So the language of the heart of the soul is beyond these things. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrindiki. Bhagavat Breakfast Prasadam ki. Daigo Premanande Hari Hari Bhav.